Joshua chapter number one. Thank you, choir. Once again, that was phenomenal. Joshua chapter number one. We'll start off in the very first verse, and we're going to read some of this, and just to give you an idea, before we get this, a little bit of context, Moses has been a big part of Israel and the nation of Israel's existence. The Bible tells us all the way back in Exodus that he was the man that God chose to deliver the children of Israel out of the bondage and out of the hand of Pharaoh and the bondage of Egypt. And we also know that we learn from that about the Passover lamb. And of course, that is Jesus Christ. And so we have in prophecy, really, all the way back in Exodus, that there was a lamb that would be offered. And that Passover lamb, when God seen the blood, he would pass over. And then in chapter number 14 of the book of Exodus, they cross over the Red Sea. Now, you think this is one of the major events that happens in the Bible. Matter of fact, over and over again, it is referenced, and over again, it is referred back to about this crossing of the Red Sea. And they crossed the Red Sea. You would think that this is something that would just absolutely amaze and awe. Amen. Not just in the present. But I mean, looking back, can you imagine as you crossed over the Red Sea on dry ground and the walls of water all the way up? I mean, how can you forget that? How can you get to the other side and start murmuring? How can you get to the other side and tell God, I wish we was back in Egypt? I mean, I need somebody to help me. Pharaoh ain't never done nothing like that before. And here they are. I mean, you think about the amazing, this enormous thing that God did, and yet the children of Israel still didn't trust him. The Bible says that God told them, everything that touches the sole of your foot touches is yours. I've given you Canaan. I'm giving you that place of that land of milk and honey. And they sent spies, and they come back, and 10 of them said, nah, man, they's giants over there. We can't do this. It's everything God said it was, but we can't do this. We can't win these battles. We can't fight this fight. We can't go in and possess the land that God has promised to us, right? And so the Bible tells us that God, he curses them, all right? And I ain't talking about a curse word. I'm talking about he tells them at that point that no man over the age of 20 will get to see the promised land. He says at that point, every one of you over the age of 20 is going to die off. And I'll take a new generation. I'll take a new group of people over to the other side and into Canaan. So with that thought in mind, this is the beginning of that. And so now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And so here God gives a command to Joshua. God comes to Joshua and he said, Moses is gone. Moses is dead. The time of mourning is through. Now get these people up and get over that Jordan, because that is the land that I have given to you. There's something better, in other words, than what is right here. You need to go over there, because I have promised that to your fathers. I promised it to the generations before you, and my promises are true, and they don't end just because somebody is in a grave. They continue on into the next step or the next journey that you have. And so here Joshua, he comes to the people and he says, y'all get ready, because within 3 days we're going to cross over that river Jordan. And that's exactly what they did. Chapter number 2, we learn about Rahab the harlot. We find Rahab and the two spies that are sent out. They go in and they end up being hid by Rahab, praise the Lord, and her house and her and all of her house and all that was within her house was saved. And of course we know that was done by that scarlet rope or that scarlet thread, and which is a great representation of the blood of Jesus Christ. But let's move on to chapter number 3, if you will. And in chapter number 3, in verse number 1, the Bible says, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And he and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. As we look at this tonight, I want to give you 4 things. I'm going to be real quick with these 4 things, but these things are evidences, or these things are a part of crossing over. I notice, first off, one of the parts of crossing over is the cultivation of the crossing. And what I mean by that is the development. God uses the crossing over of the Jordan River to develop this new generation of people. Is everybody all right? Now, this generation of people, though they may have been children and though they may have seen it, and I definitely heard about the crossing of the Red Sea, it wasn't as relevant to them at that time because of their age. But now God is doing a new work, and God is cultivating something in their life. God is developing something in their life. And so God uses the crossing over of this Jordan River much like he used the crossing of the Red Sea. I hope you see the similarities between the crossing of the Red Sea into new life for the old generation, and now the crossing of the Jordan River into new life and a promised land that God had given them in this new generation. So we see, first off, the cultivation of the crossing. We see the fulfillment of God's promises. God's promises are fulfilled, and therefore, the cultivation, what God is accomplishing and what God is developing, is His promises are coming true. The fulfillment of His promises and the favor of God's provisions. We see that. We see that in the crossing. And the Bible said this, every place that the sole of your feet shall trod, it is yours. And so God was providing for these people. But we see the faith of God's people is cultivated.
cultivated in this crossing. The faith of God's people. In other words, listen, our faith is tested through our obedience to God. When God tells us to do something, is everybody with me tonight? It is a testing of our faith. And they had failed this in the past, but this new generation had an opportunity to obey God to the fullest. And God gave a command to Joshua, the leader, and now he's given a command to the people. And God, through the crossing of the Jordan River, is cultivating their faith. And their faith is growing. Can I say amen right there for all of us? We are going into new territory. And God is cultivating our faith. God is developing our faith. God is doing some great things in our faith. Over and over again, God's showing His favor in the provisions that He has given to us. And He is fulfilling every promise that He has made unto us. This crossing over the Jordan River is for the cultivation of God's people. But we notice this, there's challenges of the crossing. Not only is there a cultivating of the crossing, but there's challenges to the crossing. All right, and I put this together there. Their faith will be assessed. There's challenges. Their faith will be assessed. Just as the last generation's faith was assessed back at the beginning of this thing, 40 years prior to Joshua going over the Jordan River, their faith would be assessed as well. See, we don't get away with, we don't have to have faith, right? Our faith can't be tested. We don't get away with stuff like that. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you, if God tested their faith, you can rest assured that God is going to test your faith. Your faith. And so this crossing is a challenge to a lot of us. It's a challenge to those that's never crossed before. In that 40 years, there were some people in that group that hadn't experienced going through the water. There's some people that hadn't experienced crossing over on dry land. There's some people that hadn't experienced the miracle that God had performed for the last generation. And so our faith will be assessed in this. My question to all of us tonight is, do we have faith? Whatever God's sending you and wherever God's sending you, do you have faith? You trust God in that thing. Say, well, I can't part the waters by myself. God ain't asking you to part the waters. God ain't asking you to do anything. The problem with most of us is we'll spend a good part of our life building a raft to get over an obstacle that if we had faith, God would just stop it up and let us walk over. Hey, so many of us that have not learned how to trust God and have not learned how to say, God, it's in your hands. And now this is what God wanted from His people. He wanted to lead His people. He wanted to be the head of His people. And He wanted them to follow Him. The Bible tells us that they were to go across when the Ark of the Covenant began to move. You know when the Ark of the Covenant began to move? When God moved it. Oh, the Levites carried it, but they didn't move until the cloud moved. They didn't move until the thing. It wasn't. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is God was leading, and their faith will be assessed during all of this. But not only will their faith be assessed, but I want you to know this. Their foes, let me see how I wrote this one down. Their foes will be agitated. Oh my goodness, is everybody all right? Y'all got quiet on me right there. Y'all thought it was just going to be easy, amen. I mean, Canaan, Brother Robbie, Canaan is heaven. We crossing over the Jordan, that's when you die. And then you're in heaven. I got news for you, Canaan ain't heaven. And because in heaven, we ain't going to be fighting no giants. I need somebody to help me. In Canaan, and they ain't going to be in heaven. We ain't going to be no wars to be fought in heaven. When you and I get there, it's all going to be conquered. It already has been conquered if you got the faith to believe it. But their foes will be agitated. How many of you know this? Anytime that you move into new territory, foes will be agitated.
Foes will be agitated. People will have a problem that God's doing something in your life and they're not doing it in theirs. I don't care if y'all like it or not. I'm going to preach right here for just a few minutes because some of you are still mad about my $100 bill in Dollar General. Because it didn't happen to you. We live in a day and time where it's got to happen to me or it ain't good. We can't be happy for somebody else. We can't celebrate the victories that other people are seeing because we are in the molly grubs because we didn't get that victory. We didn't wear my $100 bill. I go there all the time and buy Oreos and I didn't get no $100 bill. I didn't even know there was a $100 bill in Clydeville. I need somebody to help me. Hey, praise God. When you are doing something and God's moving you forward and you're going into new territory, your foes will be agitated. People ain't gonna like it because they want you to be in the same place that they are. They want you to stay in the same place that they are because you moving forward is convicting to their life because they're stagnant and they're doing nothing. So many times you'll find, I need you to hear me right here, you need to surround yourself with some people that celebrate your victories. If you got people in your life that can't celebrate when God's doing something good for you, go find somebody else to hang around with. You need somebody in your life that's excited that God would give you a $100 bill in Dollar General in Clydeville. Too many foes get agitated when God's blessings are being poured out on somebody else. Is everybody with me? There's a challenge in the crossing. What I'm trying to get you prepared for is this. When you do cross over and you move into new territory, don't think for one second it's going to be easy peasy. Because their fellowship will be attacked. Their faith will be assessed. Their foes will be agitated, but their fellowship will be attacked. Because not only will they face enemies from without, they'll find enemies from within. They'll find enemies. They'll find enemies from within. You know, the deepest cuts and the hardest, the biggest scars, the hardest hits that you and I take ain't from somebody outside. It's from somebody in that inner circle. It's from somebody that's close. It's from somebody that you put your trust into. It's in somebody that you poured your heart out to. And those are the ones that cut the deepest. And you best believe. Now listen here. We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so we know who's behind it all. But you need to be ready because things around you, when you step into new territory, things around you, you'll find that there'll be some that will abandon you. There'll be some that will attack you. There'll be some that will delay you. There'll be some that try to undermine you. There'll be some that try to pull you back. This is the challenges of crossing into new territory, the cultivation of crossing into new territory. God's doing a work in our lives. We see the challenges of the crossing into new territory. It's not going to be easy. But then we see the companion of crossing into new territory. The Bible tells us that it was the Ark of the Lord that went into the Jordan first. We're not going to read on, but if we were to read on, the Bible tells us that the priest, as they carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that when they stepped, when the soles of their feet stood in the River Jordan, that the water stood up on a heap. And I'd love to preach this, and I wish I had time, and I don't. But if I had time to preach this, I'd tell you about how the Bible tells us that the water stood up on a heap all the way back very far to the city of Adam. The only time the city of Adam is mentioned in the Bible. The Jordan River is comprised of three rivers that come together. One of those rivers is Dan. That means judgment. And the presence of the Lord is represented in that ark. And he stood in the water and the water heaped up all the way back to the city of Adam. I ain't got time to preach it. But there's a lot. There's some good stuff there. Judgment all the way back. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And in that, man, we can get going into that scripture, and it says, by one offense, all sin. But by one's sacrifice, by one's atonement, by one's sacrifice, by one's blood. All, I ain't got time to do all that, all right? We ain't got time for it. But that's a good thing that I'll get back to, I promise you, all right? Now, the companion of the cross, and we have the presence of the Lord, the provisions of the Lord, and the priest of the Lord. What are you trying to say right there with the priest of the Lord? Preacher, well, I'm glad you asked. Because this wasn't a physical thing. This wasn't a physical battle right here crossing the Jordan River. This was a spiritual battle. So God instructed Joshua not to send the army over first. God instructed Joshua not to send the men of valor over first. But God told him, you send the priests, and I'll go with them. Amen. The Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord. And as he stood in the water, as the priest stood in the water, and as the Ark of the Covenant come to rest in the water heaped up all the way back to the city of Adam. God is with you. When you go in, I need somebody to hear me. God's not interested in you and I sitting on a chair, sitting in a pew, whatever you want to call it, sitting stagnant.
That's right. Come on.
Paul said it like this: I press toward the mark. In other words, Paul said it like this: I have not achieved. I have not arrived. And as long as I have not arrived, then I need to keep pushing forward. Knowing that God is with you. Remember that in Joshua chapter number 1, what did he tell Joshua? He says, I'm not going to forsake you.
Amen.
Not going to leave you. I'll be right there with you. All right, so we see the cultivation of the crossing into new territory, the challenges of the crossing into new territory, the companion of crossing into new territory. And then lastly, the commemoration of crossing into new territory. Give me some music, Brother Matt. I'm fitting to break it down. Y'all thought I was going to dance. In Joshua chapter number 4. In Joshua chapter number 4, God instructs Israel. He instructs Joshua. He tells Joshua, he says, I want you to get 12 men. Each man to represent the 12 tribes. One man from each tribe. He says, and when they pass through by the ark, he said they're to grab a stone, they're to throw it on their shoulder. So we know they ain't talking about no pebble you put in your pocket. Is everybody all right? They were to put it on their shoulder and they were to bring it over to the other side with them. They were to pick it up out of that riverbed and they were to bring it over to the other side. And God told them that they were to take that stone and they were to place it where they would lodge that night. The Bible tells us in chapter number 4 that they do just that. But while they're doing that, Joshua takes the opportunity, and Joshua, he goes into the middle of the riverbed, and Joshua heaps up 12 stones himself. While them men are carrying them to the next location and where they'll lodge that night, Joshua, he goes in there and he gets those 12 stones. So we see 12 stones that are taken from the riverbed and set up as a memorial. And we see 12 stones that are placed in the riverbed as a memorial. As they go forward, let's get to chapter number 4. You already there. Look at you. I'm proud of you. The Bible says this, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Go to the next verse. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial to who? Unto the children of Israel forever. Go on to the next verse. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan. And as the Lord had spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them. Now look at this. Unto the next verse. Unto the place where, well, you got it. Unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Now look at this next verse. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. A commemoration. God told them, I don't want you to forget what I'm doing. Amen. The generations before you seen greater things than this, and they forgot it. Amen. They took it for granted. They didn't remember it. Said, I want you to take up some stones, and I want you to build a memorial on the other side of this Jordan. When those kids ask, Daddy, what's all them stones right there for? You tell your children about what I did. That's right. When I parted the waters for you, and you crossed over the Jordan into the land that I had promised you.
That's right.
And Joshua said, I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to go put some. I'm going to go put a memorial in the middle of that dry ground, right in the middle of that riverbed. And in times of drought, when the water isn't flowing, it'll be a reminder that right here, God did a great work. Woo! I need somebody to help me. Boy, I tell you what, in the good times and on the mountaintops, I don't have no problem praising God and remembering what God did. But sometimes when it's dry, sometimes when it's down, sometimes when I ain't heard from Him in a while, it's hard to look back and remember those things. Joshua says, I'm going to fix that. I'm going to build a big old heap right here. If there's ever a drought and the water gets low, there'll be a reminder how good God was when we passed over Jordan right here in this spot. I need somebody to help me right now. If God's done something great in your life, if God's brought you through some things you never thought you'd get across, raise your hand right now and say, God, thank you. I remember where you brought me from. I remember where you brought me from. Praise the Lord. I don't know what God's doing in your life, but I can tell you this. It doesn't involve you being stagnant. Amen. That's right. It doesn't involve you getting comfortable and complacent. Amen. If that's your idea of serving the Lord, then you got the wrong idea.
Amen.
There's enemies to be conquered. There's land to be taken. Not land to be taken. Let me stop there. Land to be possessed that God's already given to you.
That's right.
You just have to have the faith.
Amen.
To step into new territory.
That's right.
They were some behind you. They didn't have the faith to do that. But God's given us the faith.
Amen.
To cross over and step into new territory. Why don't you find a place around the altar tonight? Bow your heads with me. If you need to get around the altar tonight, God's trying to take you somewhere. Praise God. Hallelujah. Get on the altar and thank Him. He still wants to participate, still wants to be involved in your life. Thank Him. He ain't going stagnant in your life. If you're in a dry spell, go back and look for them stones. Those reminders of what God's done in times past. The faith that you display today what God will use in your children when it's their turn to step out in faith. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the word tonight. I pray that you'd bless our time together tonight. God, I pray that you are honored and glorified, Lord, in everything that was done here tonight. Lord, I pray for every individual in this church. We all have our Jordan to cross. You've promised us some things. They're on the other side of an obstacle, a test of our faith. God, I pray that some hearts were prepared tonight for stepping into the unknown, stepping into new territory. God, I pray that you build our faith. Lord, we know faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, Lord, we're reminded, as you told Joshua, not to let the law leave his heart, leave his mouth all the days. God, we turn to your word. We look at your children. We look at Israel. We look at their crossing of the Jordan, knowing that, God, you did it for them. You can do it for us. Though we may not see a physical barrier, God, we know that there's some spiritual rivers that we must cross. So, Lord, I pray. Lord, we put our trust and our faith in you to dry up those rivers for our crossing instead of us working double time trying to build our own rafts to get across. I love you tonight, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in my life. I thank you for what you're doing in our church. Lord, I pray that your will be done in all that we do. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor for what you do in our lives. Lord, to the best of our abilities, God will remember. Not forget. Set up some reminders, some memorials. Tell our children about what you did in our lives, what you did in our church, what you did in our community. Lord, that you may get the glory for those new territories that we've crossed into. For in Jesus' name, continue to pray with me if you will. Keep your heads bowed. People are on the altar. Let's give them a moment.